Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Screaming for Progress. I'm your host as always, Stuart, and alongside me is the Grimfish himself, Liam. Liam, how you doing?
Yeah, we're right. You might be able to hear, I've got a bit of a cold, but yeah, I'll soldier on anyway.
Yeah, you can soldier on, that's fine. You can do it, we believe in you. Here at Screaming for Progress, we have a bit of a lull between chapters 55 and 56. We've actually got a few weeks before that show even takes place, let alone it gets getting uploaded onto the Demand Progress Network and allow us to watch it. So, on our Twitter feed, which, if you don't already follow it, is at Progress Scream, and on Facebook, which is just search Screaming for Progress into Facebook, you'll find us. We asked our fans, you guys, which show you would like us to cover. And the unanimous winner from the people who voted, which I'll be completely honest, was mainly myself and Liam, was Chapter 20. Now, this ties in quite nicely because it was actually the first Progress show that I watched. And when I was passing my worldly wisdom onto Liam, I said it was the first show that he should watch as well. So it's actually both of our first show that we ever watched. So it's a nice place for us to review, a nice show for us to review. After this, we are going to be starting from the beginning, started from the bottom. Now we're here. Chapter 1 is going to be our next show, and we'll just continue on with that until we catch right up. I'm excited for that. Liam, so overall, without giving away matches, spoilers, that sort of thing, what were your thoughts about Chapter 20 as a whole?
It was a good show. I have to say, I think they were still sort of finding their feet a bit. So there were sort of one or two matches that stood out more than the others.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had a few sort of wrestlers you might not have heard of too much before. But yeah, all in all, it was still a pretty good show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a good show. It's a good fun episode of TV to watch. I'm probably a little less forgiving than Liam is. I think it's very much a two-match show. Arguably three. But like you say, there's a lot of people who you might not see or might not be too familiar with. Even as a Progress fan, there's a lot of people who have faded away or didn't really get the chance that they may have otherwise. But starting from the top of it, we open up with Noam Dar, obviously now part of the Cruiserweight division in WWE, versus the Pastor William Eever, which, it took me a lot longer than it should have to realise that he is the pastor because his name is Bill Lever. Bill Lever, yep, took me longer than I had any right to.
It took me a while as well, but once I pieced it together, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty clever. As an opening match, I don't think it was right. I think it was a bit slow. It kind of relied a little bit on kind of character gimmicks rather than actual in-ring entertainment. It wasn't awful by any means. Like, it's still probably better than any match on WWE television in the last couple of weeks. But for a Progress match, I think it was a very disappointing opening. Arguably, maybe the worst match on the show, I think, to be completely honest. But what were your thoughts?
It was, I mean, first of all, I'll say Noam Dar we see here is so much better than Noam Dar we've seen in the Cruiserweight division.
Yes.
Yeah. He arguably should be sort of up in the ranks for the Cruiserweight title, but you know, that's probably down more to WWE sort of saying, you know, this is how we want you. And I think Pastor William Eever was actually a sort of last-minute stand-in.
Yeah, that's right. They did mention it during the match, and I've actually forgotten who it was for now. It was one of my one of the things I didn't actually take a note of, annoyingly. And I watched this like a couple of days ago. What's his name? The bastard. Dave Mastiff.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
That's who it was for, yeah. So, yeah, for a put-together match, it was pretty good, I suppose. Like I say, disappointing opener. Maybe the only time that you're going to get a Let's Go Jesus, Jesus Sucks chant. anything.
Which is still funny.
still funny. We did get the invariable CM Punk chants towards the end when they started teasing they go to sleep. But yeah, shock ending. The pastor wins with a clothesline from heaven, with a sort of got a semi roll up pin as well. So surprise win. Bill Eaver or William Eaver has kind of dropped off the map in progress a little bit. I don't know if he's maybe injured, but I have seen him sort of on posters for other companies, so maybe he's just not in their long-term plans anymore. But
no, I think the last time we saw him was the Super Strong Style tournament.
Yeah, exactly, and that's going back a couple of months now, and we've not heard anything since. So who knows?
Yeah,
yeah.
But he might just be busy with sort of other promotions, and because you can't forget that some of these guys wrestle 2, 3, 4 times a week in 3 different countries. So
yeah, exactly. So maybe he's just busy, but you know, I'm pretty sure it was the whole deal that he was omnipotent, but hey ho. So next,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you get that? next up, we have a Fatal 4-Way match with Wild Boar, Mike Hitchman, so we're just going to call him Boar from now on, taking on fucking Bubblegum.
Which is a stupid name. Even for his character, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Kyle Ashmore and Flash Morgan Webster. Now, only one of these guys is still active in progress regularly. Bubblegum, I think, appears now and again. Wild Boar is one half of the ICW Tag Team Champions with Mike Bird. And yeah, this was actually not a bad little match. I thought it was pretty good fun. They all played their roles pretty well. I think like the way the match played out, with Webster picking up the win, meant that he was able to not really be involved a great deal. So the kind of flippier stuff came out towards the end. Yeah, I liked it. Bubblegum's just fucking awful. Ice cream heady, because his finisher, come on, like it's a pedigree, like really. What did you think?
I think I'm not sorry. Bubblegum's not in it anymore. I quite liked Kyle Ashmore in this. I don't quite know what's happened to him, but he sort of, from looking at him in the match, I'd say he was actually a pretty good wrestler. But you know, maybe he just decided it weren't for him or something. I think they mentioned he was a sort of he come from their training academy.
Yeah.
Progress. I can't remember what it's called. Progress Training Academy. Let's go with that. and yeah, I liked, you know, I like Flash Morgan Webster. I'm a bit of a fan of his.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was for a 4-way, which usually can be a bit of a cock-up sometimes when there's too many people in the match. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty good fun. A couple of big spots, a couple of impressive moments in it. Like the sort of senton by Webster out onto everyone else towards the end. And then finishing with a 450. Actually, I think it's been a while since I've seen Webster hit a 450 as well. So, it was a good, fun match. Bit of a spot fest, but that's fine. I mean, there's no harm in a spot fest at all. This wasn't one of my sort of 2 matches on the card that I thought really carried it. But yeah, it was a good, fun match. Completely completely deserved its place, and yeah, wouldn't have been out of place on any other really good progress show. So yeah, decent effort by these guys. I will sort of admit at this point that we're kind of going to batter through this, I think, because we've just both got that much to say about the main event. I think we can break the fourth wall a little bit and explain that that is what it is. But yeah, really good main event on this show, and I just can't wait to talk about it. But we still have matches. So next up, I believe it's a match in the Natural Progression series with Damian Dunn versus Sebastian, one half of the Geezers. Damian Dunn, obviously not his no fun Dunn gimmick just yet. He's just kind of there. I'll let you talk about this one. What did you think?
I mean, like you said, it's sort of Damian Dunn. It was one of his sort of earlier matches before he got his no fun Dunn persona, which I have to admit, I know I'm supposed to hate it, but I actually quite like it.
Yeah.
Especially when he goes, "You're having too much fun now." Like that. I don't know why I like that, but I do.
What I like is actually when he tells them stop and they do.
Yeah, punch him in the head. Like, why are you stopping?
Yeah.
I think they mentioned that before, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they have brought that up.
Why are they stopping when he says so? Like, yeah. But
oh, love it. Love it.
Yeah. I like him in the ring. He's sort of springboard code breaker. I think that looks incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I sort of wrote a few notes down. All I can say about Sebastian is he's okay.
Yeah, I mean...
That's all I could come up with for him.
Sebastian is one of these guys. I think he has done a lot better than he probably has any right to. Like, he's not really in progress anymore, but he's huge in other promotions. And especially from what I've seen of him, I'm just not sold. Like, I don't have anything against the guy. I don't really get it. You know, I don't really get the hype. I don't understand why people are just so high on the dude. Again, nothing against him. Like, he's fine. But I think with this match, my kind of thoughts on this match was, again, like the opener, there's nothing inherently wrong with it. But this was kind of like if you just put like two random creator wrestlers against each other and just let the computer play both sides of the match on a WWE game. You know, it was what it was. It finished with another go to sleep on this show. So three matches, we've had two go to sleeps. Or at least one teased, one hit with Sebastian's geese to sleep. It's a stupid fucking name for a move. But yeah, like it was what it was. Like Sebastian wins, moves on in the Natural Progression series onto the semi-finals. But I think it does say quite a lot that Damian Dunn is the one who's currently doing well for himself in progress and indeed in other promotions. I believe he had a match against Session Moth in Fight Club Pro a couple of weeks ago that actually I need to check out. It's apparently excellent.
I've heard like so many good things about it.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be my next on-demand purchase, I think, is going to be the event with that on it. But yeah, like, I don't really have a great deal to say about this after anything. I mean, the Geezers were pretty high at this point in progress. They continued to be so for a little while, but then that's kind of it, you know?
They were more sort of face characters as well at the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we know, Sebastian went heel for some reason and still no one really cared.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that is, well, that's excellent for him. So, poor Sebastian. I feel like we've been awfully cruel to him here. Yeah, so again, was what was. We are kind of halfway through the show at this point. Obviously, we had two really long matches still to come. So, if you're wondering why we're rattling through this as quickly, it's kind of because, well, So did they, really. But yeah, the next match we have up is for the Progress Tag Titles, and this is it's a little bit of an awkward one, because the Sumerian Death Squad, Tommy End and Michael Dante, didn't bring the belts with them for their match against the Hunter Brothers.
So, well, you say belts, they're more sort of two halves of a giant shield.
But. Yeah, as it was at the time, yeah. So, which, I mean, I get why they did it. I mean, they used to have the sort of, I'm trying to think of the scepter for the actual Progress title.
It's like a staff with the sort of Progress eagle on top.
Yeah, yeah. So they used to have that for the main belt, which, like, it's fine, I get it, totally understand. But yeah, it's not very practical because they couldn't get them through customs. So, so as a result, there was no titles to actually compete for, despite the fact it was a title match. So, Sumerian Death Squad, Hunter Brothers, title match. And this is one of the matches that I think made the night. I thought this was a fantastic, fantastic tag team match.
It was amazing. It was one of the best tag matches I think I've seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, like this was, I'd say the only better tag team matches in Progress history have included War Machine. Like, that's how good this match is. I think the only team in Progress history who put on better, like, stiffer, more impressive matches in the Sumerian Death Squad are War Machine. The Hunters, obviously, absolute props. It takes two, or in this case four, to tango. They held their own as well. I thought this was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, Tommy End is now Aleister Black in NXT. And if you watch this match and you can't see why he should be the future of NXT, the future of the business, then I don't think you get it anymore. Like, I don't think you get wrestling at this point. I'll let you say something, because I feel like I'm just going to gush about this.
Tommy End or Aleister Black, you watch him in the ring and it's just like, he's almost sort of perfect in the way he approaches wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, he does, he's got all the suplexes and brutal kicks.
Yeah.
You know, like anyone else, that would be like, you kick him in the head, he's out.
Yeah.
Aleister Black or Tommy End, as he is here. I keep calling him Aleister Black. I don't know why. But he just decides, no, I'm going to kick you in the head a sort of couple of dozen more times. And
yeah. And just deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even with sort of Michael Dante, I haven't seen him a lot since, but he's just a beast of a man.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were part of Legion and ICW, instead of being the Sumerian Death Squad, they were part of Legion and Mikey Whipwreck. So I'm lucky enough to actually see them in a cage match live, which was fantastic. And yeah, they're both just absolute monsters. Like I say, for those of you who maybe haven't seen them compete, the closest comparison I can really give you is War Machine. And like I say, that's as big a compliment as I can offer anyone. Like I say, the Hunters, again, kind of fallen off the map, like even individually, Lee Hunter, Jim Hunter. I believe it was Lee Hunter in the UK tournament.
I think it was, yeah.
Quickly fact check that, to be honest with you. I feel like one of them was, or I'm getting him confused with Joseph Connor. Where are we? He has never competed in WWE. So there we go. Still pops up now and again in Progress. But yeah, nothing.
They were sort of on a bit of a losing streak, weren't they? And then they went away from Progress, And then when they come back, they just sort of reinvented themselves, and they were so much better. Even though they sort of lost this match, they were still so impressive, like what they did.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were fantastic in this match. I've just looked it up here. They've competed twice in Progress, chapters 45 and 46. They lost to Ringkampf and British Strong Style. Both kind of forgettable matches. I can't really lie. You know, it's like kind of forgotten about them altogether until I actually looked up and saw that they'd happened there, which is a shame. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it's a great match. It's probably the second best match on the card. Any other night, match of the night, you know, just far too much to really. There's far too much from the main event for this to compete with. So I don't know. Yeah, any other?
I think whatever match was here, it was always competing with the main event. So we can't really blame them for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we get to an actual interval, and then we have Glenn coming out, fine, was it?
Bit of shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans, waste a bit of time, and we get on with the Thunder Bastard match. Now, for those of you who don't know what Thunder Bastard match is, it is kind of an elimination match. It's... if you have seen Aztec Warfare in Lucha Underground, it's basically the same thing. You know, people come out like Royal Rumble style, and it's pinfall or submission to be eliminated. So we start off with, who is it? We have Damon Moser starting off with Nathan Cruz.
Cruz wasn't supposed to start, was he? Because he come out and started sort of giving his little mouth to Glenn. Glenn then said, right, since you're out here, you're first.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it did play into the story of the match. It was pretty good, actually. So, we have El Ligero come out. Now, this was before Banter Edition, so Nathan Cruz, Dave Mastiff, El Ligero were the origin. And they were bad guys. So, we have El Ligero come out, and they take it to
El Ligero.
Yeah, I completely lost my train of thought there. Basically 2-on-1 against Damon Moser and eliminate him. So, didn't last for long though, because we had Rampage Brown, and
he's dropped off a bit now as well.
Yeah, now Rampage Brown was pushed to the sky in WCPW, and I don't know if that's directly related to him not being in Progress as much anymore. He did just get just kind of vanish, which is a shame, because I know they don't use it anymore. But his music, like I Will Be Heard by Hatebreed, is up there in terms of like really, really good entrance music, if you ask me. Like, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal song to come out to.
Especially for him. When you look at him, it suits him so much.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely unreal. Absolutely brilliant. He did a bit better than Moser. And... yeah, he lasted until we get our next entrant, who was Mark Haskins. I'm sorry, I tried to take this. I've made so many notes for this, and now I'm looking back, that barely makes sense to me. We are still no eliminations. Marty Scurll comes out, and again, still really annoyed he doesn't come out to his WCPW music. But anyway. Where are we? Blah, blah, blah. Eddie Dennis, I think, comes out. Tom Irvin comes out, who is the other half of the Geezers, along with Sebastian. It kind of all kicks off after that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a... I don't know. I think it was a bit too chaotic to actually keep track of what was happening half the time. you know, there were, like you'd expect, there were some good sort of multi-person spots and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, this sort of match, it I don't know, unless you really, really concentrate on every aspect, you can just lose what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of did, I'll be honest. One thing I would say is that it didn't seem like it wasn't the best multi-man match I've ever seen, but there was enough high spots in it, enough excitement, enough sort of fun moments that it really worked. It didn't drag at any point. It didn't feel too long. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We had a sort of moment where there's like a lot of really quick succession eliminations, which is kind of the done thing in these sort of matches. But yeah, it was good fun. And we ended up getting down to Mark Haskins versus Marty Scurll. And it was, Mark Haskins won it. So, anything you have to say about this match before we move on? Because that's been a stuttering mess, hasn't it?
It was what it was. It was obviously all in aid of sort of getting Haskins in the title picture. It was, chaotic and sort of high people diving all over the place and, what have you. But yeah, it was fun, but it was hard to concentrate on sometimes.
yeah, exactly. I think this is the sort of match that's a lot better if you're not having to take notes throughout it. It's probably the best thing to say about that. If you're not having to take notes and you can just sit, relax, watch it, then you will have a lot more fun. Maybe next time I watch it, I'll just enjoy it. But we are finally here. We're finally at the main event, and I think this really goes without saying. I've gushed about it already a little bit. This is the match that got me into Progress Wrestling. Still to this day, probably one of the best no DQ matches I can think of having seen. Even watching it for a third time, as I have in the build up to this podcast, it was brilliant. I'll let you take the lead on the sort of introductions and stuff like that, Liam, before I continue to stutter my way through praise for this match.
We've got sort of, they put on this video package showing how Havoc sort of turned his back on Progress, attacked Jim Smallman, started up with the London Riots, first of all. Yeah. They were in a little stable, and then he sold them up the river, and now we've got Paul Robinson and, I forget his name.
Yeah, so do I. The Regression.
As the Regression, sort of another stable. It was just about Ospreay sort of getting his chance, and then Ospreay comes out to probably one of the longest entrances I've seen in Progress.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of Undertaker type long.
Yeah.
But he uses a lot of sort of aerial assassin puns. You can sort of hear in the background, there's a line from Assassin's Creed, which, both me and Stuart are big fans of that. So I picked up on it straight away what it was from. But yeah, if you didn't know the game, it probably would have sounded cooler.
Yeah, I mean, there was it was kind of like a montage of Assassin's Creed sort of moments and sort of little bits from throughout mainly the Ezio games. I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really good there. I mean, if anything, I would say that the eventual change to Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC, if anything, it kind of ruined the moment for me. It just kind of took away from the atmosphere, I think. But, he was joined by two, I can only assume they're sort of independent wrestlers who came in through the crowd dressed as assassins. And then he came out inexplicably not wearing the assassin robe. He came out and put it on the stage. Hide the sword that he had. I don't know. If he'd just come out wearing it, that would have been fine. It would have been fine. It's not like he snuck out and slid it on. He came out and just put it on like a jacket. But yeah, I mean, the amount of presentation up until this point was phenomenal. Like, one of the best video packages. Like, there was no question about you knowing exactly what was happening in the sort of route to this match. Like, you could watch this with no knowledge of any of the guys involved and know exactly what these two were fighting for, what they were fighting over, you know, the whole story. And as much as you criticised their video packages at the Alexandra Palace show, I think this was a complete 360, that complete opposite. There was no overkill. This was everything you needed to know, and I thought it was a great little bundle.
Like, I, you know, this being the first ever Progress show I watched, I, you know, when I first watched that package, it told me exactly what had happened and what I needed to know,
yeah,
which I didn't mind. I think the ones in Alexandra Palace were maybe a bit cheesy.
Yeah.
It's the only word I can come up with.
Okay.
I don't think they needed as many as they had. But, yeah, with this one, it, for the sort of what was on the line, they definitely needed that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, like I say, it told the story of running into the match. It gave you everything you needed to know. So by the time Jimmy Havoc came out to his sort of AFI mashup, this is the Prelude one, and then one of the songs off of Burials that I forget the name of, you hated the guy. Like, whether you'd seen him in the episodes running up to this or not, you did not like Jimmy Havoc. And he almost got as cool an entrance. You know, he had a miscellaneous tag team, then the Regression came out all wearing sort of like blood-stained sort of white kabuki masks, kind of Joey Jordison-style white masks, and then came out with like face paint that would make Finn Balor blush with envy, not in a bad way, with envy, and like I say, you hated him straight from the off, and yeah, for a build up to a main event, like I don't think Progress have done it better since.
I think they needed this sort of thing to sort of put the Progress title sort of up with the others,
yeah,
that have had maybe a few more years to sort of get a stories going and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, especially as the belt at this point was still relatively new. Like, the belt had only been in for a couple of matches, a few chapters at this point. So it was, like, say, the aforementioned staff with the Progress eagle on it. So it was a good way to really get two guys fighting over it. Jimmy Havoc was approaching sort of 2 years as Progress champion at this point. Total reign of terror after he'd kind of cheated Mark Andrews out of his out of the title win, in a sort of twist of fate that involved Jim Smallman counting the three over Mark Andrews. And yeah, like I say, everything you need to know is there in the build-up. And by the time we got to the ring, we actually had the London Riots come out to sort of appease the situation, make sure that the no DQ stayed as fair as possible, so the Regression weren't there, kind of working as equalisers, so to speak. And yeah, I kind of liked that for what it was. I think they got involved a little bit too much before the inevitable Regression run-in, especially as Jimmy had sent Regression away. I feel like they should have definitely held off until the interference. That's my only criticism for this match.
Yeah, they kept sort of taking weapons off Havoc.
Yeah.
Which I know they're enforcers, but it was a no DQ match, so
yeah,
that was a bit of an odd call to me. But I can kind of understand with the story about how they were with Havoc, and then he sort of backstabbed them. I can kind of see where it went.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, in terms of the match, once we actually get going, like, it was hard hitting, it was spot heavy, and it wasn't spot heavy in an overkill way. There were just so many amazing, memorable moments in it. Like, quite early on, they poured the thumbtacks out. Will Ospreay took the thumbtacks in his mouth. That was the first time I'd ever seen that.
Oh, yeah, that was... They're still hard to watch now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it again since. Like, I think, I'm pretty sure Jimmy Havoc did it to Pete Dunne most recently. But yeah, then we got a burning hammer throw on, like, to Ospreay on the chair. It's just, there's no way to protect yourself from that. Like, you just need to hope that you don't land on your neck. It was disgusting in sort of, you know, the best possible way. Admittedly, a couple of minutes after this, like, Ospreay kind of did like the Celtic cross kind of move. Or no, it wasn't. It was like another burning hammer, wasn't it? Towards the thumbtacks, and they missed.
Oh, yeah.
Havoc missed the thumbtacks, which is a bit of a shame. But other than that, like, this was absolutely pitch perfect. Like, there was no real criticism over this match at all. Like, it just absolutely immaculate. What do you have to say up until this point? Like, I'll let you talk a little as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like we've both said, it's just one of the best no DQ matches that, especially Progress, but, you know, in all other promotions I've seen, it's just one of the better ones. I think Havoc and Ospreay, when they get together, they always put on a good match. So they had sort of, a couple of others as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was
sort of
Ospreay's
the most recent
shot.
One. They were flipped, so Ospreay was the heel and Havoc was the face.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, just, what can you say apart from Havoc? He's got how many acid rainmakers? I lost count in the end.
Yeah.
Not just to Ospreay, but to the referees as well. And
yeah, I think we ended up, if you include to the referees and stuff, I think we ended up with like 6 or 7.
Yeah,
so that was, yeah.
That's that, but
I know you've got a problem with that as well. Like, you have a problem with the acid rainmaker as a finisher.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the impact it needs to from not just a finisher, but primarily a striking finisher. You know, it needs to have more impact. You know, we talked about the first match with William Eva and Noam Dar. You know, his clothesline from heaven had such impact to it.
Yeah.
Like, as good as sort of JBL used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely needs something else, because it is, like you said before, it's becoming the super kick of clotheslines.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to put anyone down for it. You'll get a 2 count at best.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I love Jimmy Havoc. Like, he's one of my favourite wrestlers. Full stop. Like, I was kind of done with ICW until he appeared at Shug's house party, and by the time he went back behind the curtain, I'd bought my tickets for the Fear and Loathing show at the Hydro when he was announced. So it's a shame that that's the only thing that I feel is wrong here. But yeah, we got loads of them. We got an absolutely sick double stomp through a table towards the end. But before that, the regression did come out. Paul Robinson hit the sort of curb stomp, the Seth Rollins now banned curb stomp on Will Ospreay for a near fall. Then we got the referees battered about so that Jim Smallman had to come back into the ring. We got a tease repeating Jimmy winning the belt against Mark, or from Mark Andrews. We got a tease that he was going to pin Will Ospreay in the same sort of way with, with Jim Smallman actually having to count the fall. And I like that.
Which,
I like,
yeah, he wasn't happy about.
No,
but
I like
it,
the way that
it plays into the story.
I also like the fact as well, like, even though Jim reacted positively to the fact that Ospreay kicked out, I'm so thankful that there was no bullshit in the count. Like, he was going to count three. Like, there was no two ways about it. It wasn't a slow count. Like, it couldn't be argued as a slow count. Like, it was right down the line. And I'm so thankful that that was the case. Like, they didn't need this to be muddied in any way. Like, they needed to get the belt off of Havoc in a proper, clean way, much as they did at Chapter 55. You know, they needed Travis Banks to get the belt from Dunn in as clean a way as possible. You know, you can overbook, you can throw stuff out there in terms of interference, all that sort of thing, but as long as there's no kind of bullshit in a big face win, then it's worked.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of, it, they do that as to put like an end to it.
Yeah.
Because you just know if there's any slow count or anything like that from the ref, it's going to be another match, and you know, yeah, they needed to sort of put a stamp on it, really.
Yeah, exactly. And they needed to blow off. They needed it here. And yeah, thankfully they got it. And huge win, like absolutely huge win, huge match. They were saying going in, it's the most important match in Progress history. And hard to argue. Like, there's nothing in this entire sort of 45-minute package of wrestling from, you know, the start of the videos through the entrances into the sort of finish of the match and the, you know, the aftermath with Ospreay celebrating, that kind of thing. There was nothing here that didn't scream how important it was. And like I say, it was absolutely sold me on Progress. Fantastic show. Yeah.
And also a couple other things. The Essex Destroyer, I love that move so much. Okay. Like, it's not quite a pole driver, it's not quite a DDT, it's sort of a mixture of both.
Yeah.
But it just looks incredible.
Yeah.
And the 630 splash, how he can get the torque on himself to do that, I will never know.
Yeah. I mean, they sold it going in, like Ospreay didn't have the confidence to go for the 630. And it ended up being the move he won with. It was the only thing that he hadn't hit on Havoc that he thought would work to put him away, and it's just an insane move. I don't think I could do a senton. I don't think I could do like a 180 flip and land properly. The fact that he can do that sort of thing is just sickening. Like, you know, in an impressive way, the fact that someone can do that is just, wow. And the fact he landed it so sweetly as well, like there was no, it was absolutely picture perfect.
I think they mentioned sort of in, it wasn't a Progress show, but another show, he landed it, but he landed funny and like almost broke his neck doing it.
Yeah.
So for him to have the balls to do it again, like, just well played.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that's another thing, is commentary did their job so well in sort of selling that and actually saying, you know, this is what it's going to be. Like, this is it. You know, he's not going to do it, or he might not be able to do it. He might not have the guts. Like, just excellent. Like I say, it was a phenomenal match, and it ended up sort of saving the show single-handedly. You know, I would say to people that if they were setting off watching Progress, Chapter 20 is a really good place to start, purely for the main event. You know, watch the whole show leading up to it, but the main event is what will hook you.
I mean, we both started off at 20 and we've been hooked ever since, so...
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, 2 out of 2 there.
So there's no point in us talking about what the match of the night was. I think we know. Probably one of the best matches in Progress history. Certainly in a top five that I can think of. But I'd say probably for me, I think it's my favourite in Progress history. So if you disagree with me, take to Twitter. I am at @OutAfterDark216. If you want to get Liam, it's The Grim Fish. And if you want to get to either of us, it's Progress Scream, all one word. Let us know what you thought. Let us know if you agree. Let us know if we are wrong. We look forward to hearing from you. Make sure and like us on Facebook as well. Just search Screaming for Progress. You'll find us. The way that Facebook works, it's really hard to actually get likes, so we need you doing it for us. Other than that, thanks very much for listening to another show. We'll be back soon with Chapter 1. Liam will talk about when we're going to do that off air, rather than bore people with it on here. But there's anything you've got to say before we go?
No, I think we've said all we can, mostly about the main event. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. like I say, absolutely phenomenal show. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon for our chapter one review. So until then, like the page, hit us on Twitter, and don't be a dick. Peace.